graders move up, and so it used to be graduating from our program, of our e-program. However, a couple of years ago, the eighth graders refused Pickens Reading to leave the RE program. So now we do have something for the eighth graders after they leave. We're going to have, let's see, Erin is in charge of the program this morning. And
Heidi's going to...
Heidi, you're lighting the
challenge. The responsive reading for the channel sliding is on the back of the program.
Knowledge is to know about the world and learn about it in its particular details.
Knowledge is not intelligence.
In searching for the truth, we're ready for the unexpected.
Change alone is unchanging.
The same road goes both up and down.
The beginning of a circle is also its end.
Not I, but the
share our joys and sorrows, and of course this day in itself is always a joy. Does anyone have anything
they
want to share?
I've had a joy, actually it goes back to last week. I took my granddaughter, Amber Lee, to see my son and my grandson, whom I haven't seen for 3 or 4 years. And some of you know me to realize the distance, and this turned out to be such a wonderful visit with my son and the two grandchildren, who learned that they are, you know, really found out being husband and established family relationships. And when I talked to my son last night, he said, you know, this is the most wonderful weekend. He did exaggerate in my whole life. And to me, it was the most wonderful Mother's Day, though, in my whole life.
I had the joy of being down in at my daughter's church last Sunday, and she gave a sermon.
Well, I had the joy of attending my mother's 18th birthday, and everybody was there except one sister, and that there were the 8 of us children to be there, plus all the grandchildren.
Somebody probably already said what a joy it was that. I want to say what fun it was to watch families having such a good time.
Yes.
I was delighted at Claire playing the Wicked Witch in Sleeping Beauty in L.A. yesterday. She told me that it was neat.
Yeah, I have two concerns. One is a friend of mine, one person here knows of, and problem she's facing. And I'm intentionally using initials here, so please don't ask what they mean, but if anybody has experience with CHIPS, or SA, or SRA, or DID, or MPD, please let me know afterwards, because I'd like to talk with you. The other concern I had is that I seldom watch TV. Of both my parents, I did. I saw the little less than a second bit of the Beatles sonogram that just comes on and goes off again.
That mentioned the helpings of that one.
Today is my oldest daughter's 16th birthday.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I've got several joys and sorrows to report. I realized last night when I was talking to people that many of you may not have known that a member of our congregation died this March, Judy Perlman. And it was a sorrow to hear, but it was not unexpected. And people have very kindly waited until we returned to have a memorial service. So this is part announcement. There will be a memorial service here at Prairie Thursday at 5 o'clock. So if any of you knew Judy, feel free to come. And I want to report that our son and his wife moved to San Diego, California in March. And we were able to see them on our journeys. And it is such a joy to see this family, my son and his wife and their daughter, and how loving and caring they are about this child. Particularly having been a social worker and working with families and seeing the kind of damage that families can do, and so hopeful, you know, that there's still a world where children are wanted and loved.
And of course, it's a joy to have the two of you in the same.
My joy is that my son David is visiting. My sorrow is that the strength of numbers won out, and he's spending the morning with his two sisters. I'm not here today, but I'm very pleased to spend some time with him. We'll be here for a week, and then we're going to travel, and I'm going to introduce him to a whole scads of cousins he never knew he had before. So I'll miss you all next week, and have lots of joys to report the following week.
It's my oldest daughter's birthday today, also.
Last Sunday, Katrina got back from a tour of the Madison Children's Choir to Toronto, Niagara Falls, and Buffalo. She almost caught up on her sleep. Last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, Dean and Eric got back from a tour of the Madison Children's Choir to Chicago. I just woke Eric up because I saw he's on the program, so and they're both performing this afternoon if any of you are interested. One concert at 4 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock this evening. And I just got back from a trip last Sunday to Denmark in honor of my goddaughter's confirmation a week ago Thursday. It was a wonderful occasion to be with my Danish friends. And it was kind of nice being there by myself. And as much as I love them, it was fun to be on my own vacation.
Last night, Misha called from North Carolina, where she was at the National Competition of Science Olympiad, the senior team won third and fourth place medals for the West High School team, 15th in the country. Oh,
of course, Misha missed his older brother's graduation, which was also yesterday for college, so we've had lots going on. And he also played, Misha got to play with the Milwaukee Symphony on Wednesday, so that was very exciting.
It's my birthday this weekend.
Oh, it's your birthday this weekend, too? Wow. Okay, let's see. There was another hand over here. Okay. My bad. Let's see what's next. Okay, we're going to sing a song, number 18 in the Prairie Songbook.
How much it is.
You better decide.
For the children's story, you may all remain seated. Because we all know we're all children. And as children, we get to share a lot of things. As the presenter of the children's story today, I want to tell you a little story to introduce the story I'm going to tell. I was a little surprised when I was asked to consider teaching religious education. Because we didn't even go to church when I was a student. I talked to a little folks who were knowledgeable and guided me along. Thank you, Randy, very much. And went for it. Meanwhile, asking myself, what the heck am I going to do? So I came up with a recipe. And I want to mention the recipe to the congregation because I'm not returning to teach RE. I'm taking on other responsibilities in the congregation. So that means there is an opportunity. And I suspect, who knows, will step forth and say, okay, I'll do it. I suspect whoever considers it may possibly feel a little like I did, sort of, well, what am I going to do? So this is my recipe for how I taught RE this year. The first thing I did was I remembered a couple of saying people in my past had had. My father, who made it okay for me to go to church if I wanted, but would not care to accompany me, he would always say, keep the faith. And I'm not sure what faith he wanted me to keep, but I decided to, that sort of meant to thine own self be true. And that helped me quite a bit. Later, in my college years, I went to a professor who I respected a lot, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about getting a degree in education. Maybe I'd like to be a teacher. What courses do I take in college to prepare to be a teacher? And he said, they don't exist. He said, the way to prepare to be a teacher is remember the teachers who taught you well and teach the way they taught. So that helped me prepare my recipe. And here's my recipe for how, and I feel, our middle school RE class has been enormously successful. And I get a very, very, very small piece of the credit for the success for that. But here's my recipe. And I'm not going to pretend, you know, like, pretty good degree, up to degrees, and that sort of thing. These are the ingredients. First, lots of snacks. Second, play. Third, more snacks. Next, listen. And that's at the heart of it all. That's what I think strengthened us so much. Following that, snacks. And then, involve ourselves. And if the middle schoolers will remember, way back when we were sort of starting the process of RE, and I sent out the first brace of postcards, one of the first things I said was, you know, I'm new at this, and I need a lot of help, and I needed and got a lot of help. So we were all involved. And then the final and certainly very important ingredient was snacks. So that's the way to introduce the story I'm going to tell today. And this story is for all of us, and I need your help. The story asks a question. The question is, where is God being at? So whenever I do this, you help me ask the question. The question is,
where is God being?
And God has a very concerned pair of parents, one of whom is featured in this story, her father. And her father, from time to time, says, oh, no! That's your part. Ready? Assume the position. Go.
Oh, no!
This is the story called
Where is God Being?
Once upon a time, there was a lovely young girl, about 13 or so years old, whose name was Ganing. Ganing lived with her little sister and her mother and father, and her parents had a business. They ran a restaurant. At the restaurant, they made yummy, yummy, yummy things to eat, like shrimp and chicken and noodles and vegetables. And one morning after breakfast, Ganing went into the kitchen and said, today I'm going to go on a trip. Are you going to the park? Said her father. No. Are you going to the pool? Said her father. No. I want to go to Kapus Kasing. Kapus Kasing?
Oh, no.
Said her father. I know all about Kapus Kasing. Wisconsin. And Cobb, Wisconsin, they have a great big shopping mall. And it's the most terrible place. People hang out there all day. They shop and they shop and they shop and they spend all their money. You cannot go to Cobb, Wisconsin. Forget it. So Gani went out and she sat on the front steps of the restaurant and she thought for a minute. Then she went to get her bicycle. At lunch time, her parents were in the kitchen making lunch for all the customers in the restaurant, and her father said,
"Where is Gani?"
Her mother said, "The last time I saw her, she was bicycling down the road."
Oh.
Bicycling? Gani? Cobb, Wisconsin!
Oh, no!
Well, raced up, got in the car, drove to Cobb, Wisconsin, and he was almost halfway there when he happened to pass Gani, paddling as fast as she could. Well, he pulled in front of her, got out, pulled her over, and said, "What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? There are cars, there are buses, there are motorcycles, there are trucks. You could be killed!" Gani wasn't worried. She was wearing her helmet, she was wearing bright colors, she was following the rules of the road. But her father said, "Put the bike in the car." So they drove back to the restaurant. She went back and she sat down on the front steps of the restaurant. And she thought for a while. Then she went to get her rollerblades. Well, at dinner time, her parents were in the kitchen cooking up food for the customers in the restaurant again, and her father said,
"Where is Gani?"
Mother said, "The last time I saw her, she was skating down the road." "Skating? Gani? Cobb, Wisconsin."
Oh, no!
He went out and got in the car, raced down the road again. This time, he was over halfway to Cobb, Wisconsin. When he came to Gani, skating down the road, having a good old time, he pulled in front of her, pulled her over, and said, "What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? There are cars, there are trucks, there are buses, there are motorcycles. You could be killed." Well, she was wearing her helmet and her wrist pads and her elbow covers and her knee braces and bright clothes, and she was following the rules of the road. She wasn't worried, but her father said, "Get in the car." So they drove back home. When they got home, he said, "Now, this is what's what about Cobb, Wisconsin. I know about Cobb, Wisconsin. You may not go to Cobb, Wisconsin. You may not ride your bicycle. You may not take your rollerblades. You may not take a bus. You may not take a helicopter. No Cobb, Wisconsin. Forget it." She had her supper. She went to bed. The next morning after breakfast, she went in the kitchen and said, "Well, today I want to go on a trip, but since I can't go to Cobb, Wisconsin, I'll go to the library." So she went to the library. And at the library, there was a clown with a big red nose and a white face and a funny, colorful costume. At the end of the clown show, the clown began to give away balloons. So the first child, he said, "How many balloons do you want?"
"Two."
So he gave that one, two. To the second child, he said, "How many balloons do you want?"
"One."
That child got one. And then it was Gani's turn. "How many balloons do you want?"
300.
"I've never given away 300 balloons before. Here you go. 100 balloons. 200 balloons. 300 balloons. Gani began to float up into the sky. "Be careful! You could fly all the way to Cobb, Wisconsin!" Said the clown. Gani said, "I know, isn't it wonderful?" Well, at lunchtime, the parents were in the kitchen, and her father said,
"Where is Gani?"
Her mother said, "Well, she went to the library this morning, and she hasn't come back." So her father and her little sister went to the library. Her father went to the librarian. "Have you seen my kid?" "Oh, so that was your kid." "She's on her way to Cobb, Wisconsin." "Did she go by bicycle?" said her father. "No." "Did she go by rollerblades?" "No." "Well, how is she going to Cobb, Wisconsin?" "She's flying." "She's holding on to 300 balloons. She's floating down the Continental Highway." Her father said,
"Oh, no!"
He got in the car and he drove all the way to Cobb, Wisconsin. He went into the shopping mall parking lot, parked the car, got out, and there was Gani floating down from the sky, letting go of balloons one at a time. She landed on top of her father's car. "Father, invited to come shopping too. How nice. And you brought my little sister too. And so they had a wonderful day. In Kapu's Thank you.
Well, we have a wonderful tradition at Transition Service. It's called, I call it this year, Getting to Know the Candidates. In actuality, it's trivia on some of the graduates, our A3 graduates. The four people we're going to try to guess their exploits are Tara Converse, Allison Owens, Ian Parks, and Alana Pryor Ackerman. Yeah. So, I'll find out the questionnaires, and if you got any questions, let me know.
The theory is we'll be able to make discerning answers by seeing the culprits. I mean the candidates. So, come up and not. Have a seat. Number three, this person has spent 30 minutes in a cage with three Red Bulls.
And there are how many correct answers per?
Three. If I did my calculation right, three per candidate. Number four, this person regularly attends a summer Spanish camp and then does French as well. Number five, even though this person is not a Wisconsin native, he, she likes to eat at least a quarter pound of cheese daily. Let's ask them what their favorite flavors are. Number six, This person is taller than his or her oldest sibling, but is 15 years younger. Number seven, this person is a published poet. This person is a published poet, number seven. Number eight, this person does most of the baking in his / her house. Ask them what they like to bake. Okay, number nine, right? When this person was five, he, she had a pet caterpillar named Boogie. Two O's, B-O-O-G-I-E, Boogie. Number 10, this person broke his or her wrist falling off a rope swing and sliding on the kitchen floor. Number 11, this student specializes in historical fiction and reads on the average 4 books a week. And number 12, this person has spent time in 22 states. Okay, brain racking time is over. We'll start releasing information here. Number one. Let's see, how can we make this
happen? Can we have the person who wrote the answers correct stand when we.
Dad, shouldn't they guess?
You don't know.
We're going to guess first.
Yeah,
you guys,
we didn't make the physical.
In all fairness, these were done by their parents. We're going to guess first. We're going to guess first.
We should have the parents stand up.
Well, they can stand up until they know it.
We know it. Right. If you know it, stand up.
But not yet. We have to let the parents stand.
Okay. The rest of the congregation, we're going to guess these other than the parents. Number one, person was born on his or her due date. What's the guess on that
one? Ian.
Ian.
Kara.
Okay. The answer is... Number two, at the age of three, this person ate fire for the first time. Eleanor. Number three, this person spent 30 minutes in a cave with three red wolves. Signs up for French in school. Eleanor. Anybody else want to guess? Okay, let's see, here we go. Even though this person is not a Wisconsin native, he, she likes to eat at least a quarter pound of cheese a day. Any guess? This group's better than last year's group.
Yeah, this one I know.
You're on the button. This person is taller than his or her oldest sibling, but 15 years younger.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Person, the published poet. Boogie. person broke his or her wrist falling off the rope swing and sliding on the kitchen floor?
Allison.
This student specializes in historical fiction and reads on the average 4 books a week. Okay, this person has spent time in 22 states. I knew Arlette would be misinterpretation of that, so I left it in. Thank you all for your efforts. Reed forgot one special part of the process. How many
of us got all the?
Yeah, how many got? 12. Half of them right, 6 right. How got 6 right?
I got all
the right. Not bad. Any more than 6? Anybody get more than 6? Ooh, Emily, nice. Al, great, good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian, for that wonderful copy.
Next three men have Alice Owens.
Okay, I'm playing Shirley Scarlett Cover.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. And last but not least, Alana Tara.
I'm playing the Rainbow Connection as sung by Kermit the Frog. And if we know the words, so let us sing along.
This song is to offer some advice that perhaps hasn't occurred to them in their tender years. The song's a bit rough. My voice is a bit rough. Perhaps that's why it says call for some reason. I'm singing it for them, but I'll be singing it this way.
In many traditions, this was an age of transition. The most known of this is the bar mitzvah and bat mitzvahs held at this age. It's an age of moving from childhood to adulthood, or to that, in our society, it's more of that gray zone before adulthood, but you understand. I want to point out something about this symbol, which is really nice. Last year, we didn't have one up on the wall.
And it was also made by Ian's older sister.
Wonderful. I didn't know that. I look at the symbol and I see a lot. That first of all, we light a chalice. And that's a symbol that's known throughout the land as a symbol for Unitarian Universalism. And I like this symbol. I like this particular one. There's a circle around it. The Native American, a good Native American friend of mine says that we all have a place on that circle, the circle of life. And at this age, at this time, if you haven't yet, and you're older, now's your chance to assume your position on that circle, because we all have a place there. I like the fact that there's a chalice. Chalice represents refreshment and nourishment, but it's also grounded, it has a stem. But it's also receptive. And then there's that flame, that light. Flame throughout history has represented power, but it's also represented light, to shine in darkness, and therefore it's represented enlightenment, reason, and hopefully through your time here, through maybe just through the surface alone, you've reached some level of enlightenment. But use that light. Don't hide it under a bushel, as they say. Use it. The light of reason, the light of truth. It'll help you through not just this transition, but many transitions to come. With that being said, I'd like to present to you, just feel free to move this.
And if I get untangled, I do this so I can do this. It's time for business again. Do this. It's more like a real blessing. If I can get it on here. Oh. Man, I'm nervous. Congratulations. There isn't any other opportunity to do this, so this is the opportunity that I get as the director of religious education to recognize teachers. So I'd like to, at this moment, give out these really handy certificates to some of the teachers that are present here. First of all, K.K. Anderson, who taught the seniors. Heidi, who helped out with the preschool. Come on up. Thank you so much for your service. Paula, you sang that wonderful, Paul, excuse me. Thank you. Kindergarten, first and second grade. Also kindergarten, first and second grade, Amy, please. We are so blessed with such wonderful teachers. Barbara, come on up. This is 345. One thing that's really neat is that the two teachers from this year are both here in this class, and I think that's really neat. So Randy and Reed, why don't you come on? Other teachers that are present, and I think mostly because of the traveling, like Rachel Long, so I'd like to make sure that I acknowledge her. Ned was helped teach 345. Carrie taught 345. And Melissa, who is now working on Sundays, will also help with the preschool. So thank you all, and thank you all for your service, and congratulations once again.
So, in passing along words of wisdom, I think speaking for myself, and I suspect also speaking for Randy, I've heard tremendous words of wisdom from not only these four, there's a word for transitionites or something like that, as well as the other middle school RE kids too. And so what we'd like to do is take a few moments now, and for those of us who have words of wisdom, advice to pass along to our young friends who are moving through this passage in life to whatever comes next, allow a few moments for that to happen. So Paula has collected a few, and you may get a chance to offer your advice too.
The idea behind this was every parent wants their child to avoid making the same mistakes they made. Although that's impossible. So we compiled a list of some mistakes, and if they can remember these and remember not to make them, then you know their road should be smooth, right? Just a few. Let's see. Don't try frying egg in corn syrup. Don't brush your teeth with Bengay. When you walk into the wrong class in high school, don't sit down and get called on and admit that you don't know the answer because you're in the wrong class. Don't miss your plane back to the States. When you get really angry, don't hit a window. Don't dye your hair and get an unusual haircut the week of graduation pictures because your parents will hang those pictures on the wall the rest of your life. This one? Okay. Six. Don't play tug of war with your dog with your teeth. The dog will win, and you'll end up paying the dentist about $200. When you're painting the ceiling, don't put the pan of paint where you're going to step. When you take driver's ed, don't swerve to avoid a bird in the road, especially when the road is narrow with a rocky edge. You will crash the car, and you will diminish the driver's ed fleet by one car, and many people will end up being angry at you. A couple of you have a chance to This is a, let's see, this is a wisdom that was passed down through the family. One of the kids came up with this. It's not the shoe that fits, it's not the shoe that matters, it's the foot that's in it. When your mother is visiting, be sure to get her to the airport on time when you're returning. And when you're cooking a turkey, remember to take those giblets out of the cavity and come I want to leave time for other people's advice, so a couple more. Don't flush your dentures down the toilet. You have to remember this for quite a while before it applies. When your wife is in labor, this must be for Ian, be sure she's in the car when you leave for the hospital.
Our young people. Erin.
This is a specific advice for those going to West High School, which would be Tara and Ian, is that correct?
No.
Just Tara.
Okay,
just for you, Tara, then. Look out for bathroom doors, because they designed that school very poorly, and the bathroom doors open out into the hall, and if you're walking down the hall, chatting with your friend, you can get knocked out.
I saw another hand over here, Dick.
I learned this one the hard way. Once you're a driver, always carry a spare key where you can't possibly forget.
And don't lock your spare key inside the car
while the car is running.
Yes, I did that.
Gee,
I've got one for Ian. Don't ever try to go out with two girls at once and try to keep them from knowing.
Well, I've got more driving advice that Ian knows already from experience. Don't step on the brake to avoid a squirrel on a slippery, icy road. He was with me when he learned that lesson.
There's another hand over here. Eric?
Well, I wasn't the hand, but... Don't try to learn to drive on an angle. Make your parents buy it on an
angle. Okay. One wants your advice. Last call for words of wisdom this round. Okay.
When you have your own place, always remember to take the dirty dishes out of the oven before you light it to cook the
We have other high school students present. Anne is motioning.
I think there's one over there.
Okay, Mary?
I have some serious advice. More serious advice. I mean, it's pretty serious not to run off the road and kill yourself, but I never asked questions of all the people that I met in college that had come from many different places, so I missed all these wonderful opportunities to find out about, I don't know, China and Malaysia and you know, other states and all kinds of things like that, because I never bothered to ask questions. I just let people talk to me and never ask them. So that's my advice. Ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, kind of following up on that, I read once that the truly wise people are not the ones who know all the answers, but the ones who know the pertinent questions. So.
Okay, now you.
Big hand.
Visiting with us for the week.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Paskin. I'm just visiting. I know Mike Briggs, but I think some of you know.
Oh, sure.
See him, say hi for me.
My name is Emily Sadlowski, and this is Faith. And it's our first time here today, and I'm with my husband and my other daughter. And we're new to Madison, so he came up here to work with the teachers' union, and one of the teachers recommended check out the church. So first time here.
That teacher who had a sense of humor and
as you know, those who were here last week, Sam Lin, who was a Chinese student from who spoke to us well over a year ago, I think. Sam Lin spoke to us here about his impressions of culture in the United States, and we were very taken with him. We really enjoyed his talk. We got a lot out of it. I think the feeling was mutual. I think he felt close to us. So when he was diagnosed with cancer and went to return to China, he made a special point of coming to visit us to tell us that he had inoperable terminal cancer. And he graduated with his PhD, came back and graduated with his PhD, and then passed away on May 5th. And he has a small daughter, and they're collecting a memorial for his daughter. So we thought this morning we would like prayer to contribute something to that memorial, because many of us did get close to him. So we're going to pass on the basket for that.
This I have his obituary. I put it up for a while. I brought it for Pat Watkins, who wanted it, but it has a picture of him. Okay. Well, it's very long, but it says some of the things that Barbara said to mothers and talks about his degrees, and you have a sense of how he was esteemed in his community as well. It's very nice. And there was a service. Barbara, did you get someone called Barb? Did you get to the Sam service? Did you get to Sam's memorial service? No. Oh, okay. It came up rather suddenly. But I think.
Did you want to say?
Okay. I can put this in. Try not to squish it because I didn't promise it to Pat.
Okay. Now, prairie announcement. Katrina.
Okay. There's going to be a kids' car wash, and anyone that bought a car wash in the auction is coming to 1920 Monroe Street, which is my procedure's business, on June 7th from 10 a.m. to noon to get a car wash. And if you didn't purchase a car wash at the auction, it will be open to the public, and the price will be announced later. And remember to bring your cars.
Thank you. This is the Prairie Fire Relief. We've switched it back to being due the first and third Sundays, and the folder is up here, the purple folder, so get your announcements in. This will be the first one that Kate, our new administrator, will be doing by herself. So, to make it clear, because she doesn't know things like Paul versus Paula.
Anybody who is planning to come to the Salad Bar movie, which is tonight at my place, and who hasn't called me, please let me know.
Tell us who you are.
Oh, I'm Rosemarie Lester, and the Salad Bar movie is at 6 o'clock tonight. The film will be shown at 7, so it doesn't, some people said they really need to get out. There's a lot of people. The film is going to be either The Decline of the American Empire, which is a rather satirical Canadian film, or Dark Eyes. I have to find out how many people are
giving her an image of unsexual language and so forth. With the dark eyes and the Italian romantic comedy made in Italy, Marcello Mastroianni.
If my calculations are right, Thursday is the sixth full moon since the winter solstice, making it the beginning of the fifth month of the Chinese lunar calendar, which makes the 27th one of the biggest holidays in the Chinese calendar. And so my kids and I will be celebrating that here. We'll start Pork Rack Saturday with a Chinese dinner. And anyone who'd like to come, they bring a dish. We invite all our uncles and aunts and cousins, no matter how distant. And some things that are traditionally done in this holiday are poetry reading, martial arts, and building dragon boats. So if you bring parts and craft material, help build a dragon boat. Thanks.
There is a potluck following your service today. If you can, please stay for the potluck. If you didn't bring something for the potluck,
stay
anyway, or make a man dash a super saver. Come right back.
Stay. Here.
I believe the women's group is meeting, so we take our potluck downstairs, I think.
Or maybe we can join and then I can take the potluck.
There's a men's group, too.
Okay, which reminds me, are we going to do a tweeting Sunday this week or postpone it since there's all these other events?
It is with us. It has become our other crowded schedule. It's also not particularly
conducive. Maybe we best come up with a new date. Matthew.
There's more perennial garden plants out here, proceeds to prairie.
Rosemary, I didn't know whether Marty was here or not, and I see that he's not, so I wanted to be part of a card I got from his daughter Jennifer, who very kindly always remembers me on Mother's Day. Mother's Day was just kind of a hard day for me. She has just spent 2 years in AmeriCorps, earning quite less than, minimum wage, working very, very hard in Seattle, and making a film. This was her first endeavor of that sort, and it was a very interesting and sometimes very frustrating and certainly very much a learning experience. And she's just found out that her movie's going to be in the Seattle International Film Festival early in June. So she's very, very excited about it. I'm very impressed because Jennifer's all of about 23 years old, So I don't know whether Martin's going out there or not. But anyway, I thought you'd want to know because she's one of these kids that we were rewarding and awarding and admiring, and she is certainly doing just great.
Oh, that's great.
Just to show the connections here, my niece is out in Eugene and met Marty Jackson's daughter, Jennifer, out there. Brought greetings from her.
Wow. Just an announcement about future child care that's in that classroom. We got 2 weeks before we're back here. When I look at the schedule, next week there's a picnic, and the following week is an outdoor service. And so the third we get to that, hopefully things will be finalized in terms of what is going to actually happen or not happen.
There will be childcare.
There will be childcare.
No matter. And speaking of that service in two Sundays, that will be our annual service outdoors. I'll be leading it. Mike and I haven't gotten over to the Picnic Point area yet, but we will have it well marked because last year there was problems finding the exact space for some people. And hopefully we'll even have a map that where is a picnic next weekend. I don't know. Is Mike still there? Oh, did he? Okay, is that what the contingency was last year, that if it rains, we meet here?
That's probably a good idea.
And it will be appropriate, the service on June 1st will be appropriate for all ages. Yes.
Prescott, Arizona, we visited Lilo Hale, who is an instructor member of the Prairie UU Society. And I want to remind people that I believe in 1968 is when the Prairie officially started. So next year, Prairie will be 30 years old. So start getting ready. And that means we have PKs, which are Prairie kids, who are probably in their late 30s, early 40s. And I wanted to tell you that two of them got together out in San Francisco. John Briggs is out in San Francisco, and Jeff moved out, and so they corresponded by email and got together and realized they haven't seen each other since high school. But PKs do get together when they're adults.
Other announcements. That reminded me, probably the reason Mike isn't here is because Brian, his oldest, graduated this weekend from UW.
Yes, this was
a
big weekend. Okay, we're going to sing,
I'm here for the Prairie Fire, but so I should tell you the thing is that you don't get the Prairie Fire, but I know that. I'm looking for someone to extend the Prairie Service option and offer service that I want to buy. And that is, my father-in-law comes and visits us in the summer every year, and I think he would really like to go fishing off Teddy Pier or someplace, and I don't do fishing. So if anyone would like to offer that service, I would be glad to get a Prairie Fire.
Okay, now we're going to sing song 102 in the Prairie Songbook, and after that,
hymn number 102 in the Prairie Songbook. If you all stand, we're going to sit.